I recall that in one of our classes, the question was put as to whether or not we should claim for ourselves the perfection of man in the image and likeness of God, here and now. It was asked if it would be erroneous to say that right now I am a perfect spiritual child of God. It was stated then that a student, a class-taught student in Christian Science, had made the assertion that one should not claim perfection while in this state of so-called material existence. I presume that no one had ever been taught that, and that there was some confusion or misunderstanding somewhere in the mind of that student in regard to what he or she had been taught. Certainly, no one with a grain of understanding of Christian Science could conceive for a moment that any treatment would ever accomplish anything along the line of healing that did not claim absolutely that right here and now is this patient a perfect spiritual child of God, dwelling in divine consciousness as an idea in mind, perfect, spiritual, and eternal. Is there any matter? Is there a material man? If there is not, then what have we left? Why, nothing but perfect spiritual creation, perfect God, and perfect man. Mrs. Eddy tells us in Science and Health, quote, "The Christ-like understanding of scientific being and divine healing includes a perfect principle and idea, perfect God and perfect man, as the basis of thought and demonstration." Close quote. So you could not possibly proceed to treat a patient from any basis but that of his perfection. Not his perfectibility, but his perfection. Upon what premise could you base a treatment in Christian Science if it is not the premise of perfection? Could you make one single declaration of truth about a patient unless it were based on the perfection of that patient as a child of God? On what basis could we deny error except on the basis that error does not exist? Can you take a relative position in Christian Science treatments and expect to heal the sick? Can you make your treatments scientific on the basis of two, one perfect and one imperfect individual joined together in some mysterious way? Now, the only fact about any man is that he is right now a perfect child of God, dwelling eternally in divine mind, inseparable from that mind. He has never been out of mind and is not conscious of anything that does not come to him from that mind. In The People's Idea of God, Mrs. Eddy writes, quote, "Even the pangs of death disappear accordingly as the understanding that we are spiritual beings here reappears, and we learn our capabilities for good, which ensures man's continuance and is the true glory of immortality." Close quote. So we see that it is only in proportion to our ability to see ourselves and our patients as perfect spiritual beings here and now, and thus to claim their divine birthright, that we are able to heal the sick and the sinning. Do not let the duality of mortal mind confuse you. Stick in your statements to the truth about God and his man, and that is all you need to do. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Is there any truth about matter or mortal man? None in the least. Then the truth that Jesus referred to in that statement is the truth about the real man. And that is the only truth there is, and the only truth you and I need to know. There is no truth about sickness or a sick man. Now, in your work in Christian Science, as I have often pointed out, do not make the very common mistake of spiritualizing things, and do not become confused concerning the spiritual idea. In Christian Science, we learn that all there is in God's kingdom is God and His creation. We learn that God is the parent mind, or the only creative principle of the universe, and that the universe of God's creating is spiritual. That is, it is idea. The only method mind would ever have of expressing itself would be through idea. Mind could not be expressed in matter, mortal mind, or physical form. The only expression of God is idea, and the ideas of mind go to make up God's universe, including man. Man, then, is a compound expression of all right ideas. There is no matter in an idea. Therefore, all of the ideas which go to make up the man of God's creating could not possibly be expressed in matter or anything material. Man, as a compound idea, and this compound idea thought seems to be confusing to some, is the full and complete expression of mind, and includes all creation. This full and complete expression of all the ideas of mind constitutes what Mrs. Eddy has termed generic man. In the textbook, Mrs. Eddy has written, under the question, "What is man?" the following, quote, "Man is idea, the image of love. He is not physique. He is the compound idea of God, including all right ideas, the generic term for all that reflects God's image and likeness." Close quote. Thus we see that generic man includes all the ideas of mind. Man, reflecting all the ideas of mind, must include all the ideas of mind which go to make up the spiritual universe. Therefore, man, generic man, including all the ideas which go to make up the entire universe of God's creating, must have dominion over the universe of God's creating through and by reason of this reflection. And thus we find the reason or authority for the statement in the Bible that man was given dominion over all the earth. Now, this term, generic man, means one. That is, all the ideas which go to make up the universe and man, comprised in one complete whole, constitute generic man, or the one complete and only man. Now, do not become confused by the use of the terms generic man and individual man, or the individuality of man. To make the matter clear, we will say that this one complete compound idea, known as generic man, is divided and subdivided into many small compound ideas, known as individual man. Now, each individual consciousness here holds within itself some of the ideas of mind, That is, it expresses some of the ideas of mind which go to make up the universe and generic man. So that everything of truth that you and I reflect in our own individual thinking constitutes the individual man in us. And all the truth that any or all of us know is the truth that goes to make up what is termed generic man. So do you not see that it takes all men to make generic man? That is, it takes all of the individuality in your consciousness and my consciousness and everybody's consciousness to constitute that one complete whole which is termed the one generic man. Now, our individuality is the amount and variety of true thought present in our consciousness. Our personality is the amount and variety of mortal or carnal thinking that claims to have place in our consciousness. The identity of each individuality is that quality of thought which designates one individuality from another individuality. To explain a little farther, each one of us here expresses in his or her thinking, a little, at least, of the qualities of divine mind. Each one here expresses, I presume, some degree of love. Each expresses some degree of purity. Each expresses some degree of spirituality. Each expresses some degree of kindness, gentleness, compassion, wisdom, spiritual intelligence, etc. All qualities of divine mind. All ideas of divine mind. All of those qualities or ideas of mind which you and I hold in consciousness constitute our individuality. And as each one of us expresses more than one of these ideas in consciousness, that combination of such ideas in our makeup, in our thinking, in our consciousness, constitutes what Mrs. Eddy refers to as the compound idea. That is, many ideas of mind compounded in one individual consciousness. Just, for example, as a combination of acids or any other substance in one receptacle would be a compound mass of many component parts, so the compound idea man means the gathering together in one consciousness of many ideas of mind. I have gone somewhat at length into this because I have found that often many scientists are confused as to just what is meant by the compound idea, and also how generic man differs from individual man. Now, generic man and individual man do not differ in quality or idea. They differ simply in quantity or amount. That is, generic man includes all right ideas. Individual man includes a part of the ideas of mind which constitute generic man. So all of the ideas of mind which go to make up individual man are included in the term generic man. Generic man contains all ideas. Individual man includes only a part.